Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Pharmacy Interoperability and Emerging Therapeutics Task Force. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and we are always glad when you can join us. On behalf of ONC, I'd like to thank our task force members for volunteering their time and perspective to this important work. I would also like to especially thank Hans Blutendijk and Shelley Spiro for agreeing to serve as co-chairs of this task force. I'm also joined by Tricia Lee Roll, who will be serving as the ONC program lead. This task force meeting is open to the public, and your comments are welcome in Zoom chat throughout the meeting or during the public comment period that will be held around 11:50 Eastern Time this morning. I'd like to begin roll call of our task force members, so when I call your name, please indicate if you are here. And I'll begin with our co-chairs. Hans Blutendijk.
Good morning.
Shelley Spiro.
Good morning and welcome, everyone.
Pooja Babra.
Good morning, I'm here.
Chris Blackley.
Good morning.
Shyla Blend. David Butler. Steve Eichner will be joining us a little bit later. Raj Gavarti.
Good morning.
Adi Gunlapalli. Jim Jurgis is not able to join us today. Simarpal Kalan.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Stephen Lane.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Meg Marshall. Anna McAllister. Devin McGraw.
Good morning, everybody.
Eitan Mehta. Justin Neal.
Good morning, everyone.
Eliel Oliveira. Nirish Sundarrajan.
Good morning.
Scott Robertson. Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
Christian Tadras. Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
And Afton Wagner.
Good morning.
Thank you so much, everyone. And now please join me in welcoming Hans and Shelley for their opening remarks.
You can go first, Hans. Go ahead.
So good morning, everybody. Really appreciate everybody joining for this topic. Very important and very interesting topic as well on pharmacy. I believe, if I understand correctly, it has been a little while that this topic has had this much task force focused attention. So it's a great opportunity to identify and work through what our charge is, how we can advance the area of interoperability around pharmacy in a number of different contexts. And looking forward to work with everybody to identify some opportunities, recommendations to advance that space even further. So thank you very much, and I'll pass it to Shelley.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so pleased to see several colleagues, old friends, and others who were able to participate and join us. I'm honored to be asked to be a co-chair along with Hans. Hans' experience is extensive in this area of helping to run these task force, and I'm just very pleased to be able to help with this process. I just want to thank Tricia Lee for all her hard work in putting this group together, and also thank the ONC staff, Mike Berry and others, who have really helped us, especially those who are not on the high tech, get integrated into this process. So I just want to thank the ONC staff, Hans, the other high tech members, and especially our subject matter experts that were asked to join to get this very, very important work done. So thank you, and we'll begin.
And on that note, I think we're going to start with the introductions. I would suggest that we're going to go through the list that I believe is on the screen. I'm trying to find my screen. I'm looking at a separate screen with all the attendees. Yes, there we go. That we run through that. We have, given the size of the group, I think it's about 20 seconds. I think was the time that we have roughly allotted to this. So it's going to be a whirlwind. But throughout the discussion, we'll have surely going to catch up on more background and context as well. Shelley, do you want to start us and then go to me?
Sure.
Run through.
Sure. So just to remind everyone, we just want to state your name, your organization, your title, and your role. And as Hans said, please make sure that we limit it to 20 seconds. So I'm Shelley Spiro. I'm the executive director of the Pharmacy HIT Collaborative, and am just extremely pleased to be here and to co-chair this group.
And my name is Hans Buitendijk. I am with Oracle Health, Director of Interoperability Strategy. I'm currently a member of the high tech as well. And in a couple of activities around the industry, particularly one hat that I might be wearing a fair amount, EHRA, a group of EHR vendors, HL7 development. Great to see Scott, and we have collaborated for quite a few years, and a couple of other areas. So looking forward to work with you.
I think we should just go down the list. If you'll see, we'll start with Pooja, go all the way down to Anna, then start back up on the list at Devon. So I think, Pooja, you're up first.
Great. Hi, everyone. Pooja Babara. I'm the pharmacy and PBM practice lead for Point of Care Partners. We're a health IT consulting company. And I'm also on the board of NCPDP. So we'll be wearing that hat once in a while, and the prior board chair for NCPDP. So excited to be here and be working with all of you.
Thank you. I think, Chris, you're next.
Hi, Chris Blackley, co-founder and CEO for Prescriptive Health, and we're a healthcare technology company providing services to pharmacy and health systems.
And Sheila?
She's here today. I think it's David.
David, sorry.
Hi, I'm David Butler. I am president of Curatro, and I spent about 15 years working with Teradata and with TIBCO, so with Oracle Health, Hans, and I now provide some of the similar services consulting with healthcare and life sciences companies on better use of information technology and relational systems and such.
I don't think Ike is on yet.
Okay.
This is Shyla. I just wanted to note my apologies for I was having a few computer issues, so I was late, but I am present.
Introduce yourself. Yes, go ahead, Shyla.
So I'm Shyla Blend. I am the health IT director here for North Dakota Health Information Network in North Dakota. My background is I'm a nurse. I come from working in our health department and have a PhD with a focus on health systems. Our network also has been working closely with pharmacies to work on projects to make them more interoperable in sharing and benefiting from health information exchange.
Thank you. And Rajesh?
Hi. Good morning, Raj here. So I'm from MCG Health. My background is a little bit of interoperability on the burden reduction using PrioAuth for the other services. So we have implemented that, and I'm very excited to be part of this group to see how we can bring some of those lessons to this as well. I have the pleasure working with Hans and a few others on different committees across industry, but very excited to be part of this group today. Thank you much.
Thank you. I don't think Addie is here, but Jim?
I think Jim's out too today.
Jim's out too. Summer.
Good morning, everyone. Summer Paul Kalan. I go by Summer, so feel free to call me that. I'm founder and medical director at Rocket Healthcare. I'm a physician by background, adult internal medicine and infectious diseases, and I worked for a long time in health IT and value-based care. So look forward to working with this group here.
Nice to see you, Summer. Stephen.
Good morning. I'm Stephen Lane. I'm a practicing family physician and clinical informaticist in Northern California. I serve as the medical chief medical officer at Health Gorilla, which is a nationwide HIE, HIN, and health data platform that's in the process of becoming one of the first QHINs to support the TEFCA. And I'm super excited to be here, very interested in medication data interoperability and all that that can do to improve care.
Thank you, Stephen. Is Meg with us?
I did not see her yet.
Okay. And Anna?
I don't think so either yet.
Okay. And Devin?
Good Good morning, everyone. I'm Devin McGraw. I'm the lead for data stewardship and data sharing at Invitae, which is a clinical genetic testing company. My particular interest in this task force is pharmacogenetics and how genetic information can be helpful to prescribers in terms of getting the right medication prescribed for the patient. Thank you.
And Keelan?
Hi, this is Ketan Mehta. I'm the CEO at Micromargin Systems. Our flagship product called PrimeRx Pharmacy Management System is being used by thousands of pharmacies across the country. Pharmacy interoperability is, we are all about that. We like to be connected and make sure that the pharmacist has the ability to provide the care that the patients needs through these different task force. And this is my first time over here, so I'm glad to be a part of this group.
Excellent. And Justin?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Justin Neal, Vice President of Patient Support and Data Services at Noble Health Services. We're a specialty pharmacy, part of KPH Healthcare, so kind of transcend a lot in the pharmacy space. First time here as well, so really excited to take what I do in the day job to find friction points that we have in patients and reporting those over to our partners to make sure that we're finding better ways to take care of everybody. So happy to join everyone today. Thanks.
Thank you. I don't see Ellie's not here. Naresh?
Hey, good morning. This is Naresh. I'm the Chief Data Officer for Sync Health, and my background is in informatics and more along the lines of standards development. I've served in the PMIX, a technical architecture subcommittee, which is a prescription information exchange standards organization for the pharmacy or PDMP programs across the states. Excited to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And Scott Robertson.
I did see him.
Hi, I'm Scott Robertson. My mute button didn't work the first time. I am a pharmacist, and after many years in health IT standards development and policy at Kaiser Permanente, I'm now founded Bayer Health Tech Consulting. And I'm fairly active in the field, currently co-chair for pharmacy work group in HL7, and looking forward to this task group. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Alexis?
Good morning, I'm Alexis Snyder. I'm a patient and stakeholder engagement specialist located in the Boston area. I have a focus on patient-centered outcomes research, health equity, and health IT with personal lived experience as a caregiver, giving patient and caregiver perspective to this group in complex care, rare disease, and disability. So happy to be here with you today.
Great. And Phil?
Hi, good morning. Phil Sutherland, a director of health at Yardi Systems. We are in an EHR in the long-term post-acute care space. And interested in this work group just from the perspective of specialty EHRs and long-term care workflows. So looking forward to discussion.
Thanks, Phil. I don't think I see Christian. Cheryl?
Hi, I'm Cheryl Turney, and I represent Elevance Health, which is a healthcare company that offers behavioral pharmacy and complex care solutions that promote whole health. I lead the interoperability area for Elevance Health and really excited to be working on this committee, and hopefully will engage some of my partners across the organization that focus on pharmacy to, you know, help improve our recommendations. So thank you.
Great. And last but not least, Afton.
Thanks, Shelley. My name is Afton Wagner. I'm the Senior Manager of Pharmacy Policy and Technical Standards at Walgreens. Walgreens operates more than 9,000 stores in all 50 states. I'm a pharmacist by background and have worked for a long time in healthcare policy and health IT and pharmacy standards development. And just in thinking about what the future holds for pharmacy and the pharmacist's value in the healthcare system, working together and exchanging information is going to be critical to our industry. So I'm very excited to be part of this task force.
Well, thank you. Great to hear everybody and fantastic background and when we look at the topics, I'm sure that we'll have plenty of opportunity to jump down in details and otherwise. But before we go to the next part, Shelley, maybe just a quick housekeeping on chat and how we use it so that as we dive in, that everybody is aware of that. Some of you have served on high-tech work groups or committees before. Others are new. What you will notice is that there's a good amount of use of the chat going on throughout the entire conversation. And we encourage everybody to take advantage of that. They will be part of the record. For the task force members, please be aware that if it is to host and panelists, it's internal only, will not be part of the record. But if you type for everyone, then it will be part and everybody can see it. Which also means welcome to the public today. And you are able to participate in the chat as well. And Mike will correct me if that is incorrect, but you would be able to. However, you will not be able to speak until the public comment period at the end. So there can be an interaction using the chat, but not in terms of dialogue during the initial part. With that, I think, Shelley, we can jump in and see how this unfolds.
Sounds great. Thank you, everyone. And thank you for all those great introductions. You did a great job in staying on time, and I really appreciate that. And thanks, Hans, for the update on the chat. The chat is very important, especially for those who aren't on the panel, that this will allow the public to also give us questions as the talk goes in. Looks like Ellie, you joined us. And before we get started, Ellie, you just want to introduce yourself?
Yes. So my name is Ellie Oliveira. I'm at the Bell Medical School here in UT Austin, Texas.
Nice. Thank you so much. Thank you. So let's go to the next slide. Looks like Tricia Lee has lost her her power. So I'm going to take over her part, if that's okay with everyone. Tricia Lee, just jump in if you get back on. So this is our charge, overarching charge, sorry. Identify recommendations to support interoperability between pharmacy constituents and the exchange of information necessary for medication management, patient safety, and consumer engagement. So that is really what our charge of this task force is. What we have done, we have broken out our some of our charges, and our recommendations to the HITAC are due on November 9th. That means that in October, we're going to have to make sure that we have completed all of our reporting and all of our recommendations into report, and that will then be presented to the HITAC on November 9th. Our specific charges are four portions or four topics. Our first topic is related to public health emergency use authorization and prescribing authorities. And that's what we're going to start with today. And our second is to identify opportunities and recommendations to improve interoperability between pharmacy constituents, prescribers, pharmacists, pharmacy benefit managers, dispensers, payers, intermediaries, prescription drug monitoring programs, public health agencies, health information exchanges, third-party service providers, consumers, et cetera, for pharmacy-based clinical services and care coordination. Our third topic will be identify standards needs to support prescribing and management of emerging therapies, including but not limited to specialty medications, digital therapeutics, and gene therapies. And our fourth topic will be to identify policies and technology needs and considerations for direct-to-consumer medication services. So those are our four charges, and we'll be going over the work plan to see how we break that apart. And so I think we can move on to the next slide. And thank you, Stephen. For those of you who are following the chat, Stephen just let us know to note that the panelists, this is not possible to use for chat for private communications with members of the public. If you respond to the public chat comment, it will also be shared with all the hosts and panelists. So if you think that you're being private, don't use your own direct messaging tools if you want to talk to somebody by themselves. So this is the draft timeline for the high-tech task force. And Tricia Lee has done a really good job of putting together how we will break out this really important work. We've got a lot of weekly meetings coming up, but we have a few that we will not have meetings due to conflicts of the co-chairs or ONC staff. So this is our first week, and it is June 21st. I believe it is June 21st. Is that when summer begins? Well, we'll see. Oh. Hopefully. So this is our kickoff meeting, and then we will go through topic one. And we've broken it out into short and long-term types of goals. Just remember, we will be having invited guests come in as subject matter experts for certain topics. So we'll be communicating that with you as we move forward. So our first topic today, which is public health, emergency use authorization, and prescribing authorities. We will go through that, so I'm not going to read it. We're going to be going through that on our discussion today because we decided not to have subject matter experts come and present at this particular meeting because we want to give time to really go through the process and understand where we are within the work plan and answer any specific questions for our subject matter experts and our high-tech members that are part of the actual task force. Next week on June 28th, everything is the same time on Wednesdays for now. It could change if something comes up or we might change the date, but we're pretty well scheduled for this time. Mike, I hope you're listening, and please correct me if I'm wrong on anything. Mike Berry is our gatekeeper and our controller for ONC, and we really appreciate all his help in keeping us honest in our work that we're doing. So next week, we will have subject matter experts come in and talk to us on the short-term public health and emergency use authorization prescribing authorities. We're going to miss on the next week, which is the week of Independence Day, our national holiday. So we will be missing that week. And then if you go to the next slide, we will be week four, which will be July 12th. This is where we come into the long-term portion of this task force related to public health and emergency use authorization and prescribing authorities. On week five, July 19th, we will continue with our long-term topic on the public health portion. And then we will begin in our fifth meeting, which is July 26. Unfortunately, Hans has a hard stop and won't be here, so you'll have to just listen to me on that one. You will be missed, Hans, tremendously, but I have confidence in the ONC staff and others who have driven these processes from the high tech to help me get through our topic two, which is identifying opportunities and recommendations to improve interoperability between pharmacy constituents. And then we'll have another break on week seven, which is August 2nd. We know that this is summertime and people are out and have made previous arrangements. So both Tricia Lee and Hans will be gone on August 2nd. So we will not have a meeting on that day. So enjoy or plan your away time during those off times would be really great. You can go to the next slide. Week eight, we will be again August 9th, which will be the topic will be identifying opportunities and recommendations to improve interoperability of pharmacy constituents. Then on week nine, which will be August 16th, which will be our seventh meeting. We will have a, again, we'll be, this is where we will have some SMEs come in on both of those, week eight and week nine. Also on week nine, we have to provide an update on August 17th to the high tech. So we will, if you're not sure on how to listen to find the high tech meetings, you can search for the high tech calendar and you can see when those meetings are and register for those meetings if you want to listen in. For week 10, we will, which is August 23rd, we will continue our topic two topic. And also we will have a discussion on the draft final recommendations for topic two. So after we finish each topic, we will also come up with some draft recommendations. And this is used in order to update the high tack at the different times that we will be updating them. You can go to the next slide. So on week 11, we will have, it's August 30th, we will again, we will start our topic three and work on our draft recommendations. If you see the last column, this is where you'll start to see the subject matter experts that will be invited that are not part of the panelists, but those who have expertise in the panelists can certainly weigh in as those subject matter experts are speaking about the topics. Again, we'll have another break at week 12. There'll be no meeting because that's the week of another holiday, our Labor Day holiday. So take advantage of that time off. For week 13 on September 13th, unfortunately, I won't be able to attend that meeting. So Hans will be taking that over to continue our work on topic three. And then, and for those of you who are interested, this is where we'll be discussing digital therapeutics, which is an emerging area also. Week 14, which is on September 20th, we'll continue our work with the topic three, and we'll be discussing more on gene therapy. I know some of you are interested in pharmacogenomics and gene therapy, and this is where we'll be discussing that on that week. Go to the next slide. So we're rounding about to the end. As we're getting closer, week 15 is September 27th, and we'll continue with our topic three. And we'll have additional SMEs if needed. This is where we'll need to do our discussion for our draft final recommendations on topic three to the high tack. And then on October 4th, we will begin our work on topic four, which is identifying policies and technology needs and considerations to direct and consumer medication services. And that takes us to week 17, which is October 11th, where we will continue our topic in this area and then discussions on the draft final for topic four. Let's go to the next slide. And we are on our last slide for our work plan. And this is on week 18, which will be October 18th. And Hans, unfortunately, is not going to be able to join us on that day. Again, looking for other high-tech members to help me as we continue our process. And this is also the week on October 19th when the task force will provide an update to high-tech on our progress of this particular task force. Then we go to week 19. And this is where we'll start our discussion to finalize our recommendations to the task force report. So this is really important work. And then on November 1st, we'll do the discussions if we need to continue the work. We have to have our recommendations completed before in the first part of November. Hopefully by that October 25th meeting, we'll have all those recommendations done. And then Hans and I will be working on getting that full If we need time, we'll reconvene to finish the recommendations on week 19 and 20. And then on week 21, we will have a little extra time if we need to wrap things up. And then on November 9th is when the presentation of the final recommendations to the HITECH and for the HITECH vote to occur. Now, does anybody have any questions about the four topics or about the work plan? And I have Stephen, your hand is raised.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for going through that so clearly. Those topics are excellent. Devin mentioned a topic related to pharmacogenomics, which I think is an add-on. I have particular interest in the whole area of supporting the integration of data from medication data from EHRs and pharmacies to support automated medication reconciliation. I think there are a lot of topics under this larger umbrella of pharmacy data interoperability. And I'm just wondering, is our scope firmly limited to the topics that have been presented? Are we going to have the opportunity to slip in some other ideas or recommendations related to pharmacy interoperability and emerging therapeutics? Just want to understand, you know, with a lot of task forces, we have historically colored a little bit outside the lines and figured out ways to get input on related and tangential topics back to HITECH. So just wanted a little bit of guidance on that as we kick this off.
Well, I will let, and Tricia Lee, if you're not comfortable, I think you're back on now. If you're not comfortable with answering that question, I'll try to take a, Hans and I will try to take a.
Perfectly fine to answer. I'm sorry that I was, I'm logged in twice, and so I'm hearing myself double. Sorry, I was not able to have a secure, a good connection here. So yes. Specifically on that topic of pharmacogenomics, that third task topic around emerging therapeutics, there is mention of any other emerging therapeutic areas the task force has identified. So we do welcome you all recommending additional areas and places that ONC needs to be taking a look. To the second part of your question about how much room does the committee have to, as was described, color outside the lines, we would like you to stay as to stick with the tasks that have been assigned to you. We, because this is a process where we'll be making recommendations, we'll be noting on the discussion, you're very much welcome to, as at the co-chair's discretion, to have parking lot items or recommendations for future work. And so there's a lot to cover with this specific charge and set of tasks that we really want you to actually address. But we certainly do welcome if there are areas that are tangential or just a little bit closely related that you think are relevant enough, you can certainly recommend that ONC takes further look at that. But we really want to spend the time that's allotted, especially for a task group of this size, to addressing the particular tasks on hand. I hope that's helpful.
And maybe to add on to that, if I heard Stephen correctly, one of the elements was maybe medication reconciliation, some of those elements. Perhaps that might start to drift a little bit across that fuzzy line that always exists there. But if you have a thought or suggestion as we go through, where are we going to capture the information? If you put it in there, we can still then look at it and say, is it too far out of the boundary, or is it inside? And we'll keep it there, because that one might be one of those. Is that it's not as pharmacy centric, perhaps, as other areas, and that's where I understand. And Tricia, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that it's really meant to focus on from a pharmacy perspective, from a pharmacist perspective, the different connectivity and interactions with others. Where medication reconciliation may or may not be, depending on how you define that area. So I'm not sure whether that helps or whether that hinders, Stephen.
Thanks, Hans.
Pooja.
Thanks. Just more a procedural question. How do you want us, do you want us to email the co-chairs and you, Tricia Lee, if there are topics that we want to add? How best do we want to handle that?
There might be a couple ways. We're going to come after this topic. We're going to look at how are we going to start to gather documents, thoughts, ideas, draft recommendations. So we can look at where could you put in some of those ones. But if you have a particular topic that to make sure, I would suggest to ping the co-chairs, Tricia, Mike, and then we can find out, particularly if they might be ones of interest to have a speaker on, that you might have somebody, and you raised that question in the chat as well. If anybody has around the topics that we have a suggestion there, please let us know, and then we can identify who, when, etc. But if you are not sure, then just by all means, just ping us and we'll figure it out.
Perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments before we move on? Okay, well, let's move on then. Thank you, everyone, for that great discussion. And I'm going to turn this over to Hans.
All right. So next topic on the agenda is to talk a little bit about what is our goal in terms of a deliverable and how are we going to try to get there. So if perhaps could share the Word document that has a initial sketch outline of what our recommendations document is going to look like. We'll start with that and then work back to how are we going to capture our information using a Google spreadsheet. But for a number of us have been part of these kind of conversations and discussions before, and others have not. So just want to give a little bit of a sense of what it might look like in terms of organization, what the elements are. That can help us give an idea what kind of recommendations, ideas, otherwise should we consider, and what format is that going to end up in. So if you can scroll to the table of contents for a moment, because that might highlight some of those areas. There are a number of different sections that we're going to be looking at to really provide the background, the why is this task force formed, et cetera. And then go into the charge that is there. And then we'll go into a couple of different sections to introduce, provide more background where needed on some of the challenges that we have. And the mainstay is going to be around that recommendation. The rest of it is going to be mostly the roster, other information that we may have. Plus, that might be an area where we have thoughts to be a reference to another group. Not for the task force to address, but something for others to pick up at some point in time for their consideration. So if you go through to the next part, that's where what we just talked about will start to end up. And if you gently keep on scrolling, we had just talked through that with the timeline. It will be recapped here. Make sure that it's clear. We have that additional background. But when we get to the recommendations, is where you see a particular style. And I think it's on the next page where it starts. Yes, that one. This is what we ultimately are aiming for. These are strictly examples at this point in time from a couple of areas. So don't take these as we have discussed and agreed to, and they are not applicable to this per se. But we have the actual recommendation where we want to be very specific about what we recommend that ONC can do, either themselves or in cooperation with some, with other agencies, departments, industry, whatever the focus might be. And as appropriate, sometimes the recommendations are very clear and speak for themselves. And other times we need to have a rationale to better understand why is it that we recommend this. So we have an opportunity for that. And then it just runs through the different areas. They will be organized generally by the different topics that we will have, one through four. In this case, this is a sample from the MPRM response. So clearly you'll recognize things like USCDI and CCDA. We're going to be organizing it around the topics, and then within that, some of the short and long-term aspects of that. So that's really the main content that we are working towards. And I think then if we can jump to the end for the final aspect of it, I don't think we need to, I think there were 65, 67 recommendations there to get an idea. It's not necessary that we need to have as many, we can have more, we can have less, whatever we end up with, that's what it will be in the time that we have available. And then we have a couple of appendixes, one of them, the roster, and we may have some references of thoughts for other groups. So that's basically, if you want to get a sense of what we're trying to aim for, that's what it's going to be. And then we can jump to the Google spreadsheet where we can look at how are we going to capture our thoughts, ideas that that we're going to go through. And I think that, yeah, there's the spreadsheet coming up. Everybody will receive an invite to be able to review and edit this document or this spreadsheet. It is a Google spreadsheet, so if you don't have an appropriate account that is recognized by Google, you would have to set one up. We know that some organizations do not allow access to Google spreadsheets, others do. Typically, that means that then somebody needs to use their personal information to set up, or you can create one for the specific purpose of just using it for this. A couple of different ways. Instructions will be sent out, made available for everybody, so that this is our work area. You'll see four tabs at this point in time. As we progress, we might find out and learn that we might need an additional one, or we need to add some column to it. But this is the starting point to organize our work. And where, as you scroll from left to right, you start to see member recommendations. So far, everything looks from the charge, member recommendation, justification for a recommendation, and then any kind of discussion that we have, and then it ends up with a final recommendation. So our progression really as we go through is that as you have thoughts, ideas about recommendations, draft recommendations, you can start to enter them on each of these topics, any of the tabs. You don't need to wait for the week that we're there to start to put them in, but make sure that in, for example, cell E2, that you put in your name, either your initials or your first name, and then start to write down your thoughts. The more that you have it already in a recommendation format, great. Initially, not the most critical things, just to make sure that we have topics and thoughts so that we start to gather them. And then the justification as to why that is an important one to be picked up and considered. as we go through the weeks, we have presentations, we have discussions. You can immediately start to enter this as well. Or you can hold on to it. You can use the chat. We're going to be capturing that as well, and then transpose that where appropriate also. But one thing to keep in mind with Google is that if three people are trying to edit E2 at the same point in time, one will win. I'm not sure who, but somebody will win, and the other edits kind of disappear for a moment, and you have to re-enter it. So typically, during the meeting itself, we want to be cautious that there's not too many different people active in these recommendations. But as you're doing it in between meetings, the probability of that happening are not that high. So keep that in mind. Don't be surprised if that might happen at some point that you have to re-enter that. That's unfortunately what spreadsheets do not allow for yet. And I think those are the main topics on how we go about it. When we get to the end, we are starting to translate them into final recommendations. Then primarily Shelley, myself, and with the ONC team, that's the column that we are going to be editing. We are looking for suggestions, wordsmithing at that point in time. In another one, we used column K, but column I and J can be used for others to then make suggestions for recalibration. But primarily, Shelley and myself will be the key editors of that to make sure that we capture what's there and that we can get to that consensus level that we're looking for. And last comment there is that referencing consensus, we're not voting. We are not going to be on every recommendation have a formal vote or anything like that, but we will sense the level of consensus. If we have a clear consensus on a recommendation rationale, we'll land there. If there is a variation in perspectives and we feel that it's still relevant to get that across and have a recommendation that might, as a result, be more general to consider those recommendations. We'll aim for that as well. If we cannot get alignment of enough people, or that there's strong objection to something and we cannot find that balance, then it's going to be one of those topics that is going to sit on the sideline, because we do like to get to a point where we can say this is what the high tech task force, and then subsequently high tech overall, a set of recommendations that we all can feel comfortable about. Might not all agree with the exact aspects of it, that always will be a challenge, but at least that we have a good sense of providing ONC recommendations and guidance on where to move. And then there's opportunity as that's being implemented as well to further refine that. So I'm going to stop there for a moment and see Shelley, Tricia, or Mike, whether there's anything else on this process that you would like to add or clarify, and then we'll see whether you have any questions about this.
I don't have any. Hans, you did a great job of the update. Anyone else from ONC?
I'll just mention that we are a bit of a trial and error, so we'll see how things go as we are documenting. And if we need to adapt the template, then we can. So we'll work with what we have for now, and we'll also take feedback that there are better ways to capture this information from you all.
And like to underscore that the trial and error and iterative is really the mantra that we work through this. So we want to fit this group on how best we can do that.
And please look at the chat. Stephen put in with his experience on leading some of these task forces, some advice on what you do if you're locked out, but more information will be coming from ONC staff for the panelists on what we will be doing on entering information into the Google Doc. Does anybody have anything else? Any questions about this portion?
Clarification on Stephen's notes. I am just for sake of example, I'm actually right now, you see on the screen that it's gray and a little purple around it. I'm actually the one that is typing right now a test string. So that's what you would see if somebody else is already in there. And therefore, if you then trying to go in there, it's not going to fly. And I just got out of it and you can see it's blank again. That's what we have to keep in mind. The purple right now, that's where I'm sitting, or somebody is sitting there. And now I just moved. So that's what you'll start to see and help you indicate of wait a moment, or are you ready to jump in? Thank you, Stephen.
And it looks like Anna has joined us. Anna, did you want to introduce yourself?
Hi there, sorry to unmute. Anna McAllister. I'm a member of High Tech. Not sure what other introductions you guys have provided, but I'm an independent consultant focused on data use, governance, and patient engagement.
Thank you, Anna. Thanks for joining us. Any other questions before we move on? If not, let's go ahead and move on.
I think then, Shelley, it's on to you starting with the
yes. Deep dive. So we're gonna take the time, our remaining time before our public comment, which we have to end at 11:50 to have the public comment. And if there aren't any public comments, then we will continue our discussion until the very end. And let's go to the next slide. So as we said before, this is our first task, which we will have a discussion on June 21st and June 28th. And our first topic is public health, emergency use authorization, and prescribing authorities. Many of you know what has happened with COVID, which sort of triggered a lot of these issues as we needed to have information come to pharmacies that are one of the largest immunizers in the United States. And so we found a lot of gaps and issues, and what we're going to try to do is to consolidate those gaps. So our short-term goal is to identify critical standards and data needs for pharmacists and interested parties to participate in emergency use interventions. So we have a great use case with COVID-19, the use of the test to treat types of programs. There's been a lot of work that has been done with NCPDP on this particular aspect, and other work that has been done with other, such as long-term post-acute care, hospitals, and in the community settings and the ambulatory settings in relationship to COVID. So be thinking about that as we go into this discussions. So are there action items that ONC can take? We want to be able to identify critical standards and data needs. So keep that in mind as we go through this discussion today. And then are there actions by ONC that they can take to enable data exchange to support of public health emergency use cases, for example, the test to treat and COVID treatment and prescribing? And I think let's keep that in mind. So our subject matter experts that will be coming in next week will begin to discuss what has currently taken place, what are some of those gaps, and that's what we want to focus on. We want to focus on those gaps and how can we leverage health IT to improve that. We also have a gap with two of our healthcare partners, the hospitals and the medication offices that use certified health IT, but others do not. Also, the issues that are rising with public health as they're increasing their capability of exchanging data, what the CDC is doing. Those are the areas that we really want to focus on. And then in our meetings 3 and 4, which will take place after, we'll begin to look at the long-term recommendations. So remember, today we want to just focus on the short-term and be thinking about our long-term recommendations. So at this time, I want to open it up for discussion on what you, and the reason we didn't have our subject matter experts come today is because we really wanted to give the panelists the opportunity. There's a lot of information that we're giving to you now. We want to give you the opportunity to see how the engagement works within this particular task force, because we have several new people who haven't been involved in the process. So we want to give you the opportunity to now talk about, but focus on our short-term tasks. Okay, so let's open it up. Looking for raised hands. And I see Pooja, you're up first.
Yeah, thanks, Shelley. So I put this in the chat, but just to clarify for everyone, so the work done at NCPDP was to allow for billing. I would think one of the bigger gaps, and I would love to hear from some of the folks that are actually in the pharmacies to better understand, but I think one of the data gaps was being able to access patient records. So if I was going to, just as an example, in Arizona, we had a drive-through for a COVID vaccine. So I got my first COVID vaccine in the drive-through at, in the stadium in Arizona, but then I got my second one at CVS. I had to carry my little card, right? And so as a pharmacist, being able to access my patient record to know that I received that first vaccination, I think would be really important. So that's just one example of a data gap that I've kind of heard through work at NCPDP that we're doing. So would love to hear from others around that as well.
Anyone else? Looks like Hans.
Yeah, I want to add to Pooja's comment for a moment on that, because we had a little bit of a conversation with Arie Kunivlaki from CDC. One of the things in that context he particularly raised around medications as well, not only as part of vaccinations, but medications provided, therapies being provided that are relevant for the emergency situation. And where those treatments are not being built, that necessarily one could not easily get the information in public health or otherwise. They're not necessarily immunizations. They're not necessarily built for, and therefore the sources of getting to that information were limited. So I think it ties into your comment on the patient record. Depending on the context, there might be a variety of different elements that are currently not flowing to public health or to other parties because normally they don't need to be exchanged at that point in time.
Thank you, Hans. Ike, and Ike, since you didn't introduce yourself, you want to go ahead and do that?
Absolutely. Thank you. My name is Steve Eichner. I'm the Health IT Lead at the Texas Department of State Health Services. I'm a high-tech member and involved in working on health information exchange issues at the national and state level for a bunch of years. One of the challenges I think that we saw, especially early on in COVID-19 from a public health perspective, is that a number of folks that were administering immunizations did not have technology that was capable of sending data to public health. While we had a good set of tools in place to receive information in certified formats or formats that supported certified technology, there were a number of providers that simply did not have the capability to send data in any kind of format. And that created a substantial gap and delay and created a real burden on providers for doing manual entry. We have a web portal that is available for folks to use, and it's worked well for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. But when you're looking at hundreds of immunizations a day, it becomes really problematic for some staff to be able to do that on a repeated basis to get the information into the system so that PUJA's pharmacist can pull it back down on the other side. I think also looking at what can we do about making it easier or facilitating pharmacies to order medications electronically or track the ordering is also probably another gap, and reporting that information, again, depending upon what the distribution mechanism is. From a situational awareness perspective, understanding what pharmacies have what resources at what time is also a vital piece of information.
Thank you, Ike. Pooja.
Yeah, this also brings up, Stephen had mentioned in the chat about information blocking, and this makes me wonder, you know, as pharmacists, right, if they're covered as providers, what is the impact of the information blocking rule? Because, you know, that's that sharing of data, right, between vendors. I just wonder if some of that plays into this as well. So I think we need to be have a better understanding of kind of how that ties into all of this data sharing pieces.
And Afton. Thank you, Pooja.
Yes, Hans had mentioned something that resonated with me about medications and potentially needing information that traditionally we didn't always need in the pharmacies, such as, well, think about Paxlovid. We had this emergency use authorization last July where pharmacists were able to directly prescribe it, but we needed information in a timely manner because you need to prescribe it within 5 days after symptoms begin. So we needed health records less than 12 months old, and that needed laboratory tests to check for kidney and liver functions. And we needed a list of all medications that patients were taking, including any over-the-counter medications, so you could screen for any drug-drug interactions. So with that in mind, it's not just as easy to walk into a pharmacy and have access to new and emerging treatments, you know, as pharmacists are able to prescribe under emergency use authorization. So, you know, thinking about how to get that data and to quickly get that data will be important.
And Chris, thank you, Afton.
Good morning, thank you. Sorry, let me turn the camera on here. So a number of the things that were mentioned already, I think I'm reinforcing some of those, but we played a role in with the state of New York in rolling out vaccination, test, and treat for COVID with about 600 pharmacies, and as well as in across other states. There were some specific challenges that were extremely difficult to overcome, and particularly in a quick period of time. And the point about health information reporting, I think, was one of the biggest challenges. There's a regulatory impediment that then creates concern and risk around the pharmacist being compliant, and therefore they don't touch it if they feel like they run the risk of not being compliant with those requirements. And so providing any sort of standardization or ability to onboard, ability to accelerate and scale workflow within the pharmacy. And then another one is the credentialing and authentication as well. So when you're working across different systems, the ability to manage the different systems as a pharmacist makes it very difficult. So all of those, I think, are very relevant, and you end up with a behavioral response that makes it so that they won't even get close to it if they fear of losing their license because of it. Another one is discoverability of access to whether it's the vaccinations or treatment. I think that's another significant gap that affects both the pharmacist's ability to provide care, but also the patient's ability to find and discover it and get access. And then the last one, and this one's not particularly sexy, but it's also a significant barrier when you've got a system that's overwhelmed. One of the biggest challenges that we had was enabling scheduling. And so to the extent that there's any sort of data publishing discoverability or interoperability that allows you to affect the scheduling capability for both the patient and the pharmacist, that was one of the biggest technical barriers that most pharmacists had, because the way that they provided care up until that point in time didn't require it. And so those were some of the areas that we experienced significant challenges in just getting a pharmacist capable of being able to provide those services and test and treat.
Thank you, Chris. That was great. And David.
One of the things that I think that needs to be added to these discussions of in all these excellent comments is the recognition of what I call lifetime health information. We've reached the stage of we have the platforms, we have the software, both today and even new software that's being developed, new ways of retrieving information and storing information that is now allows us to really do a lifetime health information. And we need to look at the interoperability of that. And I think the vaccinations and what we've seen with COVID and just dealing with public health needs us to recognize the fact that a patient can remember where they got their other drugs filled in 30 days ago or 90 days ago, and they can go back to that same place. But when we're talking months or years of time, they don't remember where they went to. And when we hold these multiple events and multiple locations, we lose a lot of information over not just a short time period, but over a lifetime, basically. And understanding where patients stand with regard to their vaccination schedules is something that should be important to a pharmacist to be able to counsel a patient when they come in. Do you know that you haven't had your latest tetanus and it's been that long, and you didn't receive this as a child because you came through some procedure or some public situation where you didn't obtain that, but you still need to get that. Those kinds of things are little cracks that fall through, and I think they're cracks that are becoming larger and larger. And we need to recognize the need to consider lifetime health information in interoperability.
Thank you, David. I'm going to take the co-chair's prerogative at this particular point and give you my personal experience. I'm going to share some of my personal health information with you, which is my prerogative as an individual, but give you the case scenario of what it's like in real life when it does work. And so I think that this will be an important part. I also want to respond to what David said. We talk about medication reconciliation, but we don't talk about immunization reconciliation. And that's a very, very important part of public health, is that as patients, we have to begin to know when our immunizations are due and reconcile that, because there are different timing issues. And we haven't done as good a job as we should in making sure that we can do immunization reconciliations and that information is shared, as David had brought forward on the historic perspective of the type of data that we're actually storing. And pharmacies do store data, but it's more difficult for us to share between pharmacies and between that data. And that's another potential gap. So to my personal story, I'd like to tell you what happened to me when I actually tested positive for COVID. I was able to do a home test. I was able to test, and the first time I took it, it was negative. The next time I took it, because we had a family event and several, and we were all exposed. And so later on, I had a very positive test, of which I did report it within my application to the CDC. I had all my immunizations up to date at that particular time. I did a telehealth visit with my provider through, I'm part of an MCO, and as a managed care organization, I do have a personal health record that I have access to my information, including all my labs. And as a pharmacist, I was very in tune as to what I needed to do. So I was able to actually, at my telehealth visit, which my that practitioner was able to let me know that they also had access to my personal health record. They could see the labs that I had taken a few months earlier. So I had all my active labs in place. And that prescriber was able to actually prescribe Paxlovid for me. And I was able to get it picked up at the pharmacy, start the therapy. I was able to communicate with my primary care provider that I did test positive, and then I had a telehealth visit. I was able to send a note to my primary care provider, and they also did follow up with me to make sure that I was okay and that I was symptom free after my my amount of taking the Paxlovid. So there are situations where it does work. I think the gaps in that particular scenario was I wasn't sure that my local public health department was aware of what happened to me. And so that's a potential problem. Who is responsible for actually sharing that particular information? But I thought I'd give you a use case scenario of something that does mostly work, and that really helps us identify the gaps in these processes, which is what we want to look at. Now, there are situations where pharmacists and I could have gone directly to my pharmacy and had them prescribe the Paxlovid for me. So there were several options that were available. And I continued in there. I know we had talked about scheduling, and I think this is very, what COVID had brought to pharmacies is that increase in the ability to use automation to schedule the vaccinations. And I do want to say there are many gaps that occur in the long-term and post-acute care setting that I think we really need to address, that those connectivities are not there. But we do have a subject matter expert coming in on that portion to show what actually happened and how the pharmacies came together to share that information in that unique setting. So it looks like Pooja, you had... had a question, comment?
Yeah, just a comment. I wanted to address Stephen's comment about the AMA, and I think that's definitely an important concern. I do, you know, we talk a lot about this at NCPDP as we're starting to take on more of the care coordination use cases and pharmacists being able to do clinical services. I support bringing in the AMA. I know there's a lot of concern about that, and that's something that is definitely kind of an industry concern, but I do want to make sure that if we do bring in the AMA, you know, we really need to be focused on the exchange of data, because there are states where pharmacists are absolutely, you know, given they have this permission from a state perspective, and so I want to make sure that, you know, under this task force, we're focused on the data exchange to support, especially in those areas that pharmacists can do this work. So that's just one thing to note. The other thing that I was thinking of, and Shelley, thank you for sharing your experience with COVID. I think, you know, there, a lot of us probably had very similar experiences. But the other thing I wanted to note it, that we talk about a lot at NCPDP is we're talking about kind of this, you know, the sharing of data in public health emergencies. We may also want to, and I know it's hard to bring in a couple use cases, but the opioid crisis, right? I mean, I feel like that is another one. I know, you know, in the task force, we do mention PDMPs, but I feel like, you know, of course, you know, COVID has not passed us completely, but that's another one that as we're thinking about data exchange, I think opioids, the other public health emergency use case that we may want to be thinking about as we're, you know, as we're thinking about the data exchange in this conversation, so.
Looks like we have quite a few chats coming in. I know, Stephen, you've had quite a few chats and some great comments. And just a reminder, the chats will be part of the public record. So continue to, you know, to put those comments in. Anyone else? I don't want to go through and read these questions, but I will call upon you and I know, Stephen, you had some concerns. I wonder if you could just, Stephen Lane, if you can just expand on your comments.
Yeah, thanks, Shelley. I actually will always raise my hand if I feel like I need to supplement my chat with verbal comment. But thank you, Pooja, for calling some of that out. I do think, you know, as a practicing physician, I'm well aware of the concerns of my colleagues, and I hear it all the time. You know, oh my God, you know, how can we, you know, let pharmacists order tests and prescribe medications, and you know, do they have the training and this and that? And I think it's just important that we bring those concerns forward, and we consider them, especially as we are making recommendations regarding federal policy. I mean, I'm personally of the opinion that everyone should work to the top of their license and training. I have trained and worked with and worked beside, you know, incredible pharmacists and clinical pharmacists over the course of my career, and, you know, have a pretty good feeling about what we can do together working as a team. I think the more that we have true nationwide interoperability of health data, the more that we can rely on pharmacists to access all of the available data to inform decision making, and then contribute that data back to all other members of the care team and all other providers that might touch a patient, the more confident we can be that the care provided will be safe and effective. So yeah, thanks for the opportunity to just add that color, Shelley.
And I appreciate that, Stephen, because some of the things that I hear out in the community being, and just to let you know, the Pharmacy HIT Collaborative, we're in our 13th year, but it was really formed to assure that pharmacists that provide clinical services are integrated into the national health IT infrastructure and how we can leverage standards to actually do that. And I think that what's important on what Stephen has said as we move through with TEFCA, and we start to put some more structure into health information exchanges, because I hear from smaller providers and smaller system vendors who can't afford to connect to a health information exchange. It's an affordability issue to some of the smaller vendors that are out there. And this then becomes an issue of how do we, in our test to treat and treating for using medications such as Paxlovid, it would be difficult for some of those pharmacies to have access to the clinical data that they need in order to prescribe that particular and to dispense that particular medication. And I think that that's the key to what we have to do from an interoperability standpoint. Pharmacy system vendors have to voluntarily meet the requirements for certification. And this comes back in, what does that mean as we move forward with public health? And I'm so glad that, thank you, Chris. I think you're up next, can expand on some of those comments.
Yeah, thank you. A question more than anything else, just you make a very good point just now around the financial viability of smaller, not just the technical vendors, but also the pharmacists who generally pay for those. in the scope of this conversation and the task force, what are the boundaries of recommendations? Is it specifically limited to technical standards, or is it within the bounds of this charter to make recommendations for exploration of how do we address the financial barriers to being able to use those standards?
Well, I don't know if anyone from, if Tricia Lee, if you're still on, if you can respond to that question.
Thank you, Chris, for the clarifying question. So we're welcome to accept recommendations back to us. I think what bounds those recommendations is an understanding of where and how ONC functions. Mm-hmm. And so making a recommendation that we, you know, need to go to the moon and launch a rocket, we don't do space exploration. For example. But yes, I think that it's certainly within the realm to have us consider where we do work with other federal partners. We work with CMS, FDA, others. If there are points to be made around us engaging in work that is helping to support the adoption or use of certain health IT standards, I think that is certainly in scope along the lines of the task.
Yeah.
Developing business models is not something that we really get into, but I think hopefully that helps answer the question. So,
thank you.
And Tricia, on that clarification, I think then under topic B of this particular topic one is where there are, David or Chris, if you have particular suggestions on what ONC could do. Because that sounds like that would allow for can take to enable exchange, and that might be an enabler to make it happen and to consider, if not on their own, with somebody else.
Great. I saw another hand, but it disappeared. So I know, Stephen, you brought up other providers. Yes, and this is probably one of our larger issues are so, like dentists, nutritionists, others that social services that are part of the care team that might not have the requirement of certified health ITs, certified EHRs to actually exchange health information. And so I think that these are issues. Pharmacy definitely falls into that category along with others, long-term post-acute care, rehab. All of these are connectivity issues that we hope we will eventually address. Again, this isn't our focus, but you can see how where pharmacy is not connected, that we have to think about how that relates to others in the healthcare members of the healthcare team that it can affect also. I think ONC might learn a lot from our discussions that could be related to other practice settings and other healthcare providers, part of the care team. Ike, I think you have your hand raised.
Yes, I did. Thank you. I just wanted to make this task force, this work group's awareness of recommendations that were presented to high tech last week that included some information about the impact of certification and EHRs, and potentially looking at what constitutes a fully certified EHR versus modular or specialty certification kind of in that space. There are some trade-offs that need to get addressed, that if you limit certification to a particular functionality, you may be missing things that you need later on, but it is an approach that can be discussed and considered.
Great. Thank you, Ike. And Mike, I think we're getting very close and right on time for our public comment time.
Yeah, that's great. We're happy to open up our meeting for public comment. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause this for a moment to see if any members of the public raise their hand. Not seeing any hands raised yet, so I'll turn it back to our co-chairs.
Well, thank you. I know we have several folks who are not part of the panelists. So if you are, just put your chats in there if you don't want to speak on the phone. So thank you. So let's go back to our discussion for a few more minutes before we close the meeting down. Anyone want to add additional comments, especially what I just talked about in relationship to what the last task force did as part of the HTI-1 recommendations?
Shelley, I think there in the chat, a couple of different comments around the use of networks, the use of not only looking at the pharmacist per se, but in the process of prescribing dentists, other areas that that are of interest as well, because they are involved in the pharmacy, the medication prescribing process. So I think there's a couple of the comments that we can pick up for notes as well. Is there anybody, I'm looking at Scott and Devin, Stephen, any additional background you want to provide to that? Devin, go ahead.
Yeah, I can't speak to the to what the experience may have been at pharmacists, but it didn't surprise me in sort of hearing some of the commentary that even pharmacists who have under applicable law the ability to prescribe or to treat patients in some way, shape, or form have often do not have their queries for data recognized when they're treating patients because they're not necessarily seen either from a network rules perspective, that's probably less common, but the other participants in terms of releasing data to them, it sort of seems maybe non-traditional and questions get raised. We've experienced it in the lab context. Doesn't surprise me if that happens in pharmacy and maybe with dentists as well, where there's this, you're concerned about the mouth, why do you need, you know, the rest of this data kind of sets of questions.
Right. Now, I think that's a good point that with that at a minimum clarification of what's permissible, if not desirable, would be helpful in that space.
Yeah. And in terms of ONC's authorities, you know, there's both the, you know, sort of bucket of standardization issues that have come up periodically on the call, but then there's also the information blocking rule right. Policies. Thanks.
And Scott?
Yes. My comment really is in terms of coming from an integrated care environment where access to information was sort of an expectation and done just as a matter of course. And it is extremely important and very useful. We had pharmacists as providers of care, but other care providers having appropriate access. I mean, somebody pointed out, I think Stephen maybe, or the comment just a moment ago, you're a dentist, why do you need to know all this stuff? Well, there are times you need to know about cardiac issues, other medications that are being used. So it needs to, while not everybody needs to know everything, it's hard to really know where to cut things off because there can be interplay between different, between medications, between diagnosis and treatment and all of that. So I'm really a supporter greater access, but understanding that there may be needs for some limitations, but promoting it whenever possible. Thanks.
And Tom?
I think Kate on his hand is up.
Yeah, hi. So I'm a pharmacy software vendor. Obviously, you know, I'm in the middle of all these things, right? So I may ask a couple of questions which are going through my mind. So first of all, is this only related to medications or the data being sent for medications being used during the emergency rule? Like, for example, the vaccinations, or I heard comments like, hey, we may need to know about heart condition and all that kind of stuff. The reason why I ask this is because there have been multiple scenarios where, you know, first of all, there are 50 states, so there are 50 different formats, which is fine. We go through vendors and we make sure that the data is being submitted. But then, like, there are questions being asked, like, do we have consent or not from the patient. So we have to sort of rely on the whether the fact that the pharmacy has taken this consent. So then we take other additional precautions on signature pad or text messages to say, hey, we need these consents so that way we can release the data. So if it is only related to this emergency use, then yeah, we have a limited scope. During COVID, we just started submitting all vaccinations. But if this is more beyond that, which it looks like, then I don't know if there is a standard format. There is one clearinghouse versus like 50, and there is one standard method. So I'll just pause. I know it's a big topic. I'll just pause over there because we are in between all this. So
I'll try to respond first before we go to Scott, but I agree with you, but there are other things that public health is looking at, such as antibiotic stewardship. They're looking at other areas that with the opioid use disorder, with other chronic conditions, that hypertension and some of the others that the CDC and public health might be interested in, especially as we go into looking at health disparities and health inequity issues occurring, that I think this is just the beginning. It's a good use case to figure this information out, but there are a lot of public health issues, and who knows when the next pandemic or epidemic might be coming. So I think that it's a good use case, but I think that there are other areas that we need to consider. And if we come up with a good process, we'll be able to handle any type of medication issues that need to be distributed throughout the care team and public health. So Scott?
Before I go to it, Scott, just one additional comment, I think, is that part of it is that in today's topic, it is indeed more around emergency public health. But perhaps in topic two, maybe three, is that there's opportunities, Kaidan, to address some of your questions or areas of concern as well. Variability across jurisdiction is always an interesting topic of ours as well. So I think there are some questions there on how, whatever we do, how can we make sure that it's as consistent as possible when we communicate with public health, be it for emergencies or not, and generally that we communicate as consistently as possible. So we probably have a couple more opportunities as the weeks unfold.
We have 2 minutes left. So Scott?
Yes, so for everything terrible that happened during COVID, it did provide, such as the emergency use authorization, the time that we were able to actually accelerate things that would have taken many, many years to come to come into being. So further access of information, greater sharing of information, finding out what was good and bad about our existing systems. So, but what still has to be recognized as the emergency use authorization play out and come to an end, that, you know, if pharmacists are prescriber, they have all the responsibilities of a provider. You don't just get to take on some additional capabilities without taking on responsibilities as well. So I want to keep that in mind. You know, we're not trying to carve out something special for pharmacists. It's for everybody that's going to access or contribute to the information. There are responsibilities. In terms of different regulations in the states, yeah, that's been a problem for a long, long time. The idea of model legislation can sometimes help, and even standards. For example, with PDMPs, there are standards that exist, but they're just they're not all at the same place in all the states. States have added complications in terms of different levels of funding available and stuff. So the best we can do is provide recommendations for a target that everybody can work toward in those regards.
Thank you, Scott. And I think that's our last comment. We are at the top of the hour, so I'll turn it back over to Mike. I want to thank everyone for all their great comments and chats, and thank you all for moving forward. These are our dates of our upcoming meetings. Again, we have a call next week. And thank you, Mike. Is there anything else I need to say?
I just want to remind everybody that the link to the worksheet that we display today will be sent out later today, if you haven't already received it. And also, there's one other thing, but it went out of my mind, so it must not be too important. So otherwise, we will see you next Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you.